Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Reigns and Edge here on the Free Talk Live Network. It's Mark Edge.
Henry Rain.
Thanks for joining us here. Third hour.
Is that the right answer?
Yeah, right. Right. That's right. We're kicking off the third hour. So, Henry, we've been talking about social issues, talking about presidential race. Where are we going now?
Well, I'm hoping you have something for us, Mark. But I think, actually, in all seriousness, we have a lot of responsibility. We talked about that earlier. We talked about Stan Lee. We talked about Spider-Man, Steve Ditko, and the axiom, with great power comes great responsibility.
I love it. And I love that I feel like Marvel Comics does a really good job of, A, making people, you know, just believe that power and responsibility went together, and B, making intelligence a superpower. You know, in the Marvel Universe, the most important and successful characters for a very long time were the smartest ones. So, I love that.
Such as?
Putting a value on IQ.
Who were the smartest characters?
Well, who are the most intelligent of Marvel characters? Mr. Fantastic, Hank Pym, Black Knight. Help me out here.
Black Knight.
Yeah, wasn't he? And Beast. There's another one.
Nah, I don't think any of them are in Reed Richards' category. Just not of the three that you mentioned after Mr. Fantastic, Doctor Doom.
Well, not a good guy. Well, I don't think you get to that's wisdom as opposed to intelligence.
Well, Tony Stark was pretty good.
Yes, he should have been on that list.
But you know who also takes great power and great responsibility seriously?
Spider-Man.
The Fed.
The Federal Reserve of the United States?
Yes. The Federal Reserve. Well, and the individuals that make that up, Jerome Powell and all those other semi-nameless people that make up the Board of Governors.
Someone at Collander.com, a man named Jordan St. James, decided to write an article about the smartest characters, putting Peter Parker at 10th.
I think he'd be lucky to be at number 10th.
Yeah. Well, he made his own, you know, right in high school, he made his own
sticky
spider
fluid
stuff. Yes, that's important. Hank McCoy at number 9. Number 8.
What did he invent?
I don't know what he invented, but that's the idea.
He was living off Professor X's Cerebus or Cerebro or whatever that thing was. Yeah, I don't know.
Amadeus Cho, which is a relatively new one, he turned into a Hulk. Hank Pym, number 7.
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, number 6, right? Tony Stark, number 5. Victor Von Doom, number 4.
Hey.
3, Valeria Richards. This is a daughter of Reed Richards and Susan Storm.
Not my generation.
Yep, I don't care about her either. Lunella Lafayette. I don't know, she's kissing the nose of a dinosaur here, so Moon Girl. And number 1.
Isn't that a Jack Kirby creation?
I thought, it was originally like a
Devil Dinosaur?
Yeah, Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is the new and modern version of that, I guess.
Somewhere. And what podcast radio show is the nerdiest? Well, so if you're kicking it back over to, I don't know if this was where you wanted to go, but the Federal Reserve launched its FedNow instant payment services. That was last Thursday, I believe. I don't know if you got in on that.
Well, I knew that it happened, but
You didn't send anything through it?
I haven't sent anything through it, no.
They've been developing it for several years.
Uh-huh.
And officials say it'll allow faster, not flasher, but maybe in the spirit of the Flash, it would be quicker. That would be nice to see Jerome Powell with his little Flash suit on. a little lightning bolt. And
I don't know what he looks like. I can tell you what Janet Yellen looks like.
Well, he's going to look like Flash if he's wearing a Flash suit. All right.
Old Flash.
Well, you just caused me to hit a button and make Jerome Powell disappear. I know you probably would like that. But anyway, it's the last Thursday. They started with the Fed now. That's going to be a way of transferring money. The dollar, I would assume, is a presumed currency that you're transferring on that. Anyway, it's providing instant access to paychecks, allowing for last-minute bill payments or sending government payments out to individuals. The system is expected to improve the flow of money. Federal Reserve built the FedNow service to help make everyday payments over the coming years faster and more convenient, said the chair.
So this is to just sort of beat out Cash App and Zelle and these kind of things.
We'll take that up in a second because I don't think the future looks sunny and bright for them. Over time, as more banks choose to use this new tool, the benefits to individuals and businesses will include enabling a person to immediately receive a paycheck. Now, some people think they immediately receive it when they get a direct deposit.
Yeah.
But they haven't really received it. There's a lot of stuff happening in the background. Just because the bank is letting you spend the money that someday will be yours, but it won't be yours anymore because you've already spent it. You know, it's not instantaneous.
They're advancing you money on a strong belief that they're going to get it.
Yes. You can possibly access funds when an invoice is paid. So far,
you know, I've been working for myself for so long, I have never received a direct deposit paycheck.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Never.
Not even when you get your income tax refund? Well, it's not a paycheck. It's a direct deposit, though.
I haven't paid income tax myself in a long time.
Well, you must do a lot of charitable giving.
Indeed.
So far, 35 early adopters, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo, two of the four largest banks in the U.S., have signed up. Surprised Bank of America hasn't signed up, because that would be one of the top four. There are an additional 16 institutions providing services for banks and credit unions that have signed up. American Bankers Association said it welcomes FedNow, and noting that ACH, people that get direct deposits or those kind of use those for payments. When you see ACH, the clearinghouse, that's sort of what's happening with that. You don't probably see that too much.
I misstated. I've paid income tax. I have not received anything from the IRS in the form of income tax. So, no.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
Because I would hate to be here alone. Going, Mark, where are you?
Well.
Anyway, there's still some outstanding questions about FedNow, and the central bank expects the system to be developed further. It will be central to the use of credit unions and something else like that. And it is not to be confused. This is the most important part that they stuck at the end. The be confused with a central bank digital currency. No matter how much people on LinkedIn say it's the same thing, that is the forerunner. That is they're laying the groundwork for all
it
this.
It is the forerunner. I would have to tell that. They're talking about a central bank digital currency, right?
No.
They're not?
It's still funds.
This is something else.
This is a mechanism for transferring.
I wouldn't call it entirely different, though.
Entirely different than what?
Well, the killer app on a digital currency, a cryptocurrency, is the ability to move funds from one place to another at a low cost with frictionless, as they call it. Make it easy to do. And that's what this is doing. I mean,
some people think that FedNow would mitigate the need for a CBDC.
Okay. I'm for that. I mean, I think that's another accurate sort of statement.
What this appears to me from the story, and it's not just from this story, but from having read about it occasionally as it's been being developed, is that it's like a mechanism. It's like a Zelle. It's like a Cash App.
Yeah.
Now, will they be able to track everything? Well, there is a transaction record on everything that transacts now. So the question is, how much of an identifier will this be for individuals? And I guess that depends on how it's used.
well, it's going to be used in a variety of ways, just like cash is. But it will be interesting to see how it works
well,
out.
Well, no.
I think that you need innovation in the area of currency.
Let me explain the difference to you. Okay. Now, if you are going to take, if your FedNow sends money into your bank,
yep,
and you use that mechanism to pay bills, which would be a natural extension of what it's for, that will be within the internal transaction record.
Mm-hmm.
If you use a credit card, it's going to be within the ledger of the credit card company.
Right.
And whether that, we don't know whether that would be tracked by the Fed now.
So the Fed is the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is an organization of banks. Visa and MasterCard are issued by banks, and banks are basically franchises of the Federal Reserve. So if you're using a bank product to pay a bill, I would just go ahead and presume that that bill is being tracked and numbered and spent.
Well, yeah, but it's being tracked on that. Yeah, people can subpoena, law enforcement can subpoena that, and you find out. What I'm saying is it wouldn't be part of the FedNow system, per se.
I think that
the payment to the credit card company, sure, would be part of the FedNow system.
I would agree that it's not part of the FedNow system.
Well, you're not going to have anymity in what you've been buying these days anyway,
because the Federal Reserve isn't using cash anymore. Is not offering you anonymity, that's for sure.
Right. Well, I mean, back 40 years ago when people were using cash a lot, then you had some anonymity. You don't have that now.
How am I going to buy my meth?
Well, that depends. What does the fence give you for the lawnmower you stole from your neighbor?
I don't steal anybody's lawnmower.
Does your fence give you a check, or does it give you cash? Or she give you cash? I don't want to be sexist about the whole thing.
For now, the cash is still something that you can spend, but I don't know. One wonders how long.
Yes, well, you could be like India and, get rid of all the big denominations, make it really difficult to make big
Well, they're
purchases.
Kind of doing that by inflating the currency, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, a penny, which, you remember penny candy? There is no penny candy anymore. Penny candy costs $1.25 now. It's probably an exaggeration.
Yeah, well, over the top.
But they, I guess $100.
A Tootsie Pop, I bet you can still get for under 50 cents.
What's that?
A Tootsie Pop.
Like a small one,
Well, a Tootsie Pop is a Tootsie Pop. They're standardized. They're about this big.
A Tootsie Pop, excuse me.
Yes, with a Tootsie Roll inside. Yeah.
I was thinking of Tootsie Roll, and
as recently as two or three
dozen sizes.
2 or 3 years ago, I could buy them for 25 cents, so I don't think they're...
Yeah, I don't know what the size. I don't know what the cost is, but I would say that it is. It's clearly true that that things cost 20 times as much as they did when I was a kid.
Okay.
And well, that means that a $100 bill is worth a 20th of what it was before. And in another one of my lifetimes, I'm 52 years old. Expect that to happen.
So at least gas prices aren't that much more than they used to be.
Well,
they're not more than twice as much.
20 times. It depends on when you're talking about. When I was a kid, you remember this time frame, it was literally 17 cents or something.
No, not when you were a kid.
No? I remember the Iran gas crisis.
Yeah, that was 40 or 50 cents was a big deal then.
Okay. You would know better than I would. Yeah, I was truly a child.
Yes, you didn't. You didn't drive your car to the gas line.
But
you weren't rationed for odd and even days.
No, you're absolutely true. I was not. But you weren't either, right?
That's less than 10 times. Well, yeah.
Did you own a car at that time?
Well, in like 19... it technically wasn't my car, but okay. I had a car to use.
Okay, you had to put gas in a car tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right behind the license plate, just like you're supposed to.
I'm not questioning. I'm just asking questions at this point.
Yeah, it was around 30 cents. Sometimes it'd be a gas war and you get into the high 20s. We're talking around 73.
Yeah.
Right before the first embargo.
Now, and I don't know what things are like in California, but I bet you at its peak the Californians have paid easily $7 for a gallon of gas. Sure.
Well, that's our problem. But we're talking the amount. But then by the 1979-80, it would getting up to about $1.50. So from that, you know, that's what, 80, 40 years ago? It's buried from in there, $1.50 to, you know, $3.50. Got up to $5 this time, but it didn't stay there very long. But we're digressing, Mark. We're getting away from the essence of the point. We were talking about FedNow. You're talking about you can't pay cash for anything. But there's a better idea out there. WorldCoin.
Oh, no.
WorldCoin. Yes, this is, in fact...
My maximalist listeners are losing their minds right now.
Which maximalist?
So there's people that are called maximalists are generally Bitcoin maximalists.
Yes.
The cryptocurrency is a terrible idea, except for this one coin.
Right, because it's a robust network.
Well, that's the idea.
Yes. It's been around a long time by these standards.
Okay.
I was a Bitcoin maximalist, and I'm probably still lean that way.
I think that Bitcoin is should be kept. I mean, Bitcoin, if you're going to have cryptocurrency, that Bitcoin ought to be part of a portfolio. But I think that maxis are in it for the money, and they're not in it for the technology, because the technology is being developed out on the fringes.
Well, the upgrades have given it some of the ability to do what Ether does and some things like that. But let's stick with it. You keep wanting to take us down these alleyways in the midst of a dark night somewhere where speaking of the Black Knight that you wanted to bring up, or got no idea why, WorldCoin was introduced last week. It's a cryptocurrency project founded by OpenAI CEO Sam Altman. Now,
I heard the name, and I've used OpenAI.
That has to do with ChatGPT.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, because he's all about the artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He's got real intelligence, but artificial intelligence is where he's made his name. And the project's core offering is its World ID, which the company describes as a digital passport. Doesn't that sound cool? it proves the holder is a real human.
Okay.
And it does that by showing that you're not an AI, an artificial intelligence robot, or bot, as, you know, the techies say. To get a world ID, a customer signs up to do an in-person iris scan, that's an iris of your eye, using WorldCoin's orb, a silver ball approximately the size of a bowling ball. That's a big orb. No, I mean,
is the only way to do this is with an iris scan? I mean, like, you couldn't put your handprint on there. You couldn't produce a heartbeat. You couldn't do an interview. I mean, it's just one way.
If you want that, you need to go make your own darn cryptocurrency. I mean, Sam Altman is a busy man. And actually, I do believe that the iris scan has been used in, like, some of the Palestinian refugee camps to allocate food and things like that. So there is technology to back
there's
that up.
Always something that'll get your biometric data. Here, you want to eat? Biometric data.
Well, I would.
You want to go to Disney World? Biometric data.
Well, I don't know if I'd trade it for that, but I would definitely trade it for the food to live on.
Clearly you haven't, because that's what you do when you go to Disney World.
No. I haven't gone to Disney World in decades.
Right. I went this year or last year.
What do you do?
One of Jack's friends came down. Jack wanted to go.
How do they collect it?
You just put your thumbprint on somehow, and then they...
Oh, well, that's not an iris scan.
No, I said biometric data.
All right. I thought you said iris scan. We'll go to the tape. Anyway, once you get the scan, it verifies you as a human. Yeah, I have my own questions about how you can, you know, counterfeit an iris scan, but I guess there's something they've got more technical knowledge than I do. Anyway, the company behind WorldCoin, it creates the World ID. The company behind WorldCoin is San Francisco and Berlin-based Tools for Humanity. That sounds nice, too. The project has 2 million users from the beta period. That's a lot. And with Monday's launch, WorldCoin is scaling up orbing. Then we got a new verb. It's like tweeting. Tweeting became a verb. Operations to 35 cities and 20 countries.
Tweeting was a verb before that. It's just expanded its definition.
Yeah, but this is associated with a technological advancement, and orbing is associated with
Googling. Now, there's a...
That's a good branding. Anyway, it's an enticement. Those who sign up in certain countries... will be... you know, this may be difficult to explain completely in this segment, but we're going
to
try.
We don't have to.
Well, I'd like to at least mark the ground. I'd like to leave my mark on the ground that we explained this so we could talk about it. Anyway.
Speaking of which, I got to get back home and walk the dogs.
Well, that's just too bad. That's what you have a son for. Anyway, oh, Mark. Anyway, as an enticement, those who sign up in certain countries will receive WorldCoin's cryptocurrency token WLD. Now, if you think that is an enticement, think about this. The price rose in early trading on Monday. That was last week, on the world's largest exchange, Binance. It hit a peak of $5.29 and was at $2.49 from starting price of 15 cents, having seen $25 million of trading volume, according to the Binance website. Doesn't that sound cool?
Well, you know, it sounds like they're working.
Yeah,
you're not into
the money aspect. You're about the ideals and the.
Well, I like the money and I like the ideals. I like it all. But it sounds like this Sam Altman guy has got a lot of fans.
Right. Well, blockchains can store world ideas, as you well know, and they preserve the privacy and can't be controlled or shut down by any single entity. Co-founder Alex Biana told Reuters, except perhaps whoever controls the orbs might have a lock on the registry there. That may be where the counterfeit iris scans
come. Place your gonads gently on the orb.
Mark, you've thought about this way too much already.
I've read this book.
Anyway, it'll be necessary in the age of generative AI chatbots like ChatGPT, which reproduce remarkably human-like language. Altman told Reuters WorldCoin also can address how the economy will be reshaped. People will be supercharged by AI, which will have massive economic implications. Well, that's wonderful. And we can talk about the ramifications and repercussions of this in the next... Well, we still got another segment. We got time for all this. I hope we do. Well, I'm planning on it.
Unless we get into another Marvel list. Yeah.
Oh, Mark. I'm beating my head here.
So the buck stops here. The buck stops at the president's desk when he's president of the United States.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden taking action to curb sexual assault in the military.
The president signed an executive order today stripping commanders of the authority to decide whether to pursue charges in cases of sexual abuse, rape, and murder. The decision will instead fall to a new group of independent special prosecutors, advocates of military sexual assault victims for years have pressed for such cases to be taken out of the chain of command, arguing victims were too often denied justice. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Americans will only be able to buy LED lights from retailers as a ban on incandescent light bulbs begins next week. The ban officially starts on Tuesday. It'll only be illegal for stores to sell the light bulbs and companies to manufacture them, but it won't be illegal to own. The Department of Energy said LED lights provide more light using less energy and last a lot longer. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
And I'm Mark Edge.
Mark, it's our final segment today.
Man, it just fly by.
Oh, yes. Like, we just slide through this like butter on a hot pavement, just rolling downhill. Just to mix as many metaphors as I can. But, which reminds me, relationships are tough. Yeah.
Is that mixing a metaphor?
Well, it's tough on the butter, it's tough on the concrete, it's tough on the hill. But it's not as tough as relationships are between people that love each other and have formed a near permanent union. Or are hopeful of that permanent union. And
the union's a little less permanent than it used to be.
Yes. And I know that I certainly am not, I don't fit a cookie cutter relationship model. And I don't know if you would describe your relationship as a cookie cutter relationship model.
I am divorced. This is how I describe
that doesn't
my...
mean you don't have a relationship.
It's true.
So would you say there? What would you say the non-marital status of the two people involved are? Are they related?
Well, yeah, I think it's a relationship. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that clears that up.
Everybody's related, right? But, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, what's the greater point here? The greater point, Mark, is that, as I said before, with great power comes great responsibility, and people look to us to improve their lives.
Okay.
And to go with the life experience that we have, because a lot of the people are younger than us.
They're not listening to the radio, are they?
and who better to turn to than older folk that have microphones and can opine to you about
how
relationship.
Know how to use free software on the internet.
What do you think is what would be the first thing? You know, let me back this up. I have said before that in discussion of other people's relationship, nobody really knows what goes on between a man and a woman. Or I would expand that to say between a man and a man, a man and a woman, you know, in the relationship.
Inside a relationship.
You know, these bonding pairings
that
we have now. Nobody really knows what goes on between people that are in one of those kind of bonding pairs. Not bondage pairs, but bonding.
And we don't know.
Right. We don't know the details. But what would you advise them? Not knowing anything about them, not knowing what they're going through, what would you guess might be the thing that they might want to work on?
Well, I think that honesty is probably the first thing that I would talk about, is that there is... you shouldn't be keeping anything from your mate, if we're going to use that term.
What if it would be better for them if they just didn't know about it?
I think that honesty is the thing that you should work on it.
So when you go out and you, in a moment of weakness, have an affair with someone, that you should immediately go home and tell the other person about it.
I think that in that circumstance, your commitment to honesty might help you to have not had that moment of weakness. However, if you did have that moment of weakness, I would take a little time to see whether you developed yourself some kind of venereal disease. And if that were the case, then maybe I would keep it to myself.
Those are words of wisdom right there. Determine if you have a venereal disease.
Sexually transmitted
disease. Yes, it doesn't have to be venereal.
All right. Well, I don't know the difference between sexually transmitted and venereal. I'm just trying to keep it clean for the kids. What
STDs is how the cool kids refer to these.
I'm sure it is. So, and never having done things like cool kids. Yeah, I would, at that point, you know, once I've determined that I am, relatively safe, then, you know, return to my marriage. And perhaps I might keep that quiet because it doesn't seem like it would help forward the relationship. But I think that not having done it in the first place is the best bet.
Well, I'm glad we had this discussion. But I will tell you what somebody says, not me,
okay.
But I will say that money is something that is a problem in how you deal with it in many relationships. And Dr. Jenny Olson, a lead author of a study published in the Journal of Consumer Research, which is where you should always go for your marital advice or your relationship advice, put together a human by business researchers from several universities who have no underlying agenda, found that couples with joint bank accounts fared better over the long term than couples that maintain separate ones. Now,
isn't it possible to be both of those? Like, you can have a joint bank account and maintain separate ones at the same time, right?
I would say for more mature relationships, as in chronologically mature, like, and that is a really good idea. I would say for young couples, it is almost impossible because you're just barely getting by.
There's just not enough money to go around.
There's no extra to go.
I hear you.
But the idea that you could do that, you know, because there are young couples that have good jobs, and in that case, they could identify what their joint monthly expenses are, the mortgage or the rent and the food and some of the other expenses. And I think it would be a good idea to have that put in on as you get your income, monthly or weekly, whatever, you put that in, your share of it. And that's also a security for both couples that they know that their immediate needs, material needs, are going to be covered. And then you would have a separate account for either ones. And, you know, you could come to a determination. Do you just put all the surplus in there, or do you, you know, do you have a savings account too that you're going to both put in relatively proportional amounts for all that? But anyway, Dr. Jenny Olson says, I would say there's a lot of debate out there about the benefits of joint accounts, but anytime you see a joint, it is better. Now, I think she meant joint bank account there.
Right.
But, I don't know. That goes into a whole other issue that comes up with couples.
So she's just saying that couples that have a joint bank account do better. And what does do better mean?
Well, it has to do with the study that they just completed. It's possible that joint accounts make couples happier, but it's also possible that happier couples are more likely to join their finances.
Mm.
So is it the chicken or the egg?
Yep.
Which comes first? Are you happy and then you want to share, or
so
do you share and become happier?
Success is determined by happiness in this circumstance.
Well, I'll tell you, she's happy about her work, this study that came out, because she says, our work really presents the most compelling evidence to date that joint accounts are indeed good for marriage. Now, and she's talking over the long term, but you start to go, what's long term? Well, I'll tell you. I will ask the question and then I will answer it. The researchers recruited over 200 couples to participate in the study. All of them were engaged or married for less than a year. Next, the researchers divided them into three groups with different instructions. One group of couples kept their accounts separate. The second joined their account. And the third was a no-intervention control group in which the study participants did whichever they preferred.
Okay.
The researchers monitored all three groups closely over the next 2 years, surveying them at six different points to model their trajectories, according to Olson. The researchers assessed the happiness well-being with several questionnaires.
Well, it seems like a short duration and an odd group, but it does seem like you'd be able to figure out the chicken or the egg on this one, because you have a group that was directed to get a joint account, and then a group that willingly got a joint account. And then you can see, you know, just based on that, whether or not joint accounts create happiness or whether happiness creates joint accounts.
Well, interestingly enough, all three groups saw the quality of their relationships decrease over time. Olson said,
just a little advice for you kids.
Declines are typical of all relationships, but the group with couples who joined their finances saw significantly less decline than the other groups in that long term of 2 years.
Okay.
Couples that were assigned to the joint banking district were buffered against. That was just a little bit more of the same. Let's see. What else can be this term in here?
What do you think about joint accounts and what they provide a relationship, Henry?
Well, I think you have to have it. You shouldn't have one person that controls all the account by themselves. So if you can't have three accounts, or the joint account and then that secret account one of you have that you don't tell the other person, then everybody...
You don't need a secret account. You just sneak 20s off to the side.
That's right. That's shoebox. And then you go to the shoebox and, what did you do with my Nikes? Anyway, I thought one of the interesting things, the Thursday explained joint account might make relationships more communal. And... the other thing that I want to get into the human interest, I'll answer your question here. She talks about the different circumstances, maybe when they get older, maybe they've had a previous marriage. This advice, this survey probably isn't applicable to them. One drawback is everything is visible to both partners. And we heard some couples like, well, if I want to buy a gift for my partner, how am I supposed to do that if they can see every line item? And I say, you aren't buying a special gift. There's something you want to buy, and you don't want to have them looking over your shoulder on it. But that's just me.
I you know, I was just thinking while we were talking about this, of course, to my marriage and the time frame when we had only basically a joint account, and I had exactly that problem, is that if I wanted to buy a gift, I really didn't, you know, like, I literally had a little box upon which I would shove 20s now and then so that I would be able to buy a gift without that gift being sort of tracked.
How did that 20 not get into the account?
I would be given an allowance on a weekly basis.
Oh, so you saved it.
And so I would ferret it away, and yeah. That was the whole thing. This was the height of the economic downturn, or the depths of the economic downturn in 2008.
Oh.
And so, you know, we really decided we were going to pay off all the debt, and you know that was going to be a great thing, and it happened, and it was a great thing. But buying a gift was a difficult part of that. And basically the way that we determined that we were going to handle that was by not buying gifts. We're simply not going to buy gifts for each other. And we had everything we need.
So you got into arts and crafts?
No, there were a couple things here and there that I want to be able to buy as a gift. So I saved money away and I did that.
It work out?
She hated gifts.
Yeah, because you hadn't clued her in and smartened her up that you were putting the money aside so that she could put some money aside.
Yeah, she would.
You were just doing that to make yourself superior.
I didn't. No, I wasn't.
You're always like that, Mark. You're always doing these things.
I was doing those things.
Yeah, it's just like you.
Always do that.
Yes. Well, but that wouldn't be thrown up in your face.
No, it wouldn't. She would just take the gift and say, oh, thanks.
I would suggest to these couples that are need any advice, is try making a budget first. Now, sometimes if you see, I pretty much know what everything is being spent. It's like the budget is residing in my mind all the time. I know where the money goes, and especially when there's outflow, when there's more demands than you can fill. The budget doesn't really help that much because you know that you always do not have enough. No, not my present.
You got to cut things, you know. I mean, we cut cable, we cut down cell lines, we cut down everything.
Right.
I mean, it has to hurt if you want to get your head above water.
What if you don't get above water?
There are a lot of people who don't.
That's
the system
true.
Is designed so that people are bankrupted. Money is loaned into existence at interest. So that means there's no way to pay back 100X% of money. So there will always be those that's the reason we have bankruptcy, is because some will never get their heads above water. But the bad news is that if you go bankrupt, the likelihood of going bankrupt again is even higher. Because you won't learn from your lessons.
I doubt that that's a true statistic.
I'll go ahead and look that up for you.
Yes, please do.
Go ahead.
Because I'm trying to think how you can that can statistically be possible. If 100 people go bankrupt, you're saying that the recurrence of bankruptcy is higher for previously bankrupt than the general population. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Okay.
The recurrence of bankruptcy is higher for the bankrupt than it is for the general population.
I would say why that wasn't possible is because I would say there would be less people with two bankruptcies than one bankruptcy, so the total people that were bankrupt can never equal the number that have one bankruptcy.
Well, it doesn't have to be everybody who went bankrupt, because I've gone bankrupt once.
Right.
Obviously, they wouldn't. But the pool of people who have gone bankrupt, the likelihood of those people going bankrupt again is higher than the pool of people who, just all people in the U.S.
So you're saying that if you were to Google search, then say percentage of bankruptcy by population of the United States, and then percent of the set of people that have declared bankruptcy once to have a second bankruptcy, that number will be a higher percentage. Is that what you're saying?
I was actually looking at what I was saying. So repeat it again. I'm sorry. I was looking at the what I had searched here.
Well, what have you searched? You tell me.
Well, I don't see from a percentage of double bankrupt is what I quickly typed in while we were chatting here. And I see debt.org talking about bankruptcy statistics. There isn't a there doesn't seem to be a good news article straight away that that addresses this.
How about a simple one? How many people declared their second bankruptcy last year?
Second bankruptcy.
Yes. And
try that.
Well, I wish I had a little Jeopardy liner here that I could play. I'll tell you what. While you're doing that, let me play a very important message for everybody that's listening. Mark is going to go dive deep into this, and in the meantime, we'll listen to an even more important message. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chain Locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Oh, the best thing I've got is this article from Forbes about how often can you file for bankruptcy. This one's by John Egan and Mitch Strom here for Forbes. Just as there are different types of bankruptcy, there are different rules for how often you can file bankruptcy. The waiting period to file another bankruptcy case generally ranges from 2 to 8 years, depending on the type.
I once had a bankruptcy attorney tell me, "Hey, you need a good 5 to 7 years to run up a debt worth bankrupting."
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing. If I, you know, in my case, when I had a bankruptcy, I really hated that I couldn't pay my bills. And I basically filed way too early because I just knew that there was no way to get out of this. Like, I had this this business that went under, and I just didn't have the way to produce the numbers. I probably should have waited a year or two, but ultimately it worked out. So anyway, depending on the type of bankruptcy, in some situations there may be no waiting period. This guide focuses on Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 bankruptcy, the most common types for individuals. Other types of bankruptcy, 9, 11, 12, and 15, focus on municipalities, businesses, family farmers, and fishermen, and bankruptcy filings, and involving more than one country. So basically, you can file for bankruptcy anywhere from like 2 to 8 years, and that, yeah, it gives a lot of options for people who make bad choices.
There you go.
Well, all I can say is that I saw this somewhere, and I can't find my source.
Okay.
Other than, just questions about doing it, because apparently people search this. But doesn't it make sense that somebody who went bankrupt once is more likely to go bankrupt than somebody who, a pool of people who haven't necessarily gone bankrupt?
No, because everybody that's gone bankrupt the first time has come from a pool of people that haven't gone bankrupt.
They did. But, only a percentage of them will ever go bankrupt, right? I think that probably the vast majority of people do not ever go bankrupt. But I could be wrong.
I think the majority of people. I don't know what vast means, but
vast would be above 66%.
Okay. So what other personal relationship items can we have? Or just
when it comes to
life hacks.
Yeah, my thought on a joint bank account is that for me, it worked really well. There was a period of time in my life when, we wanted to get all the debt paid off, that we didn't like living under the thumb, and we couldn't get a mortgage. we built our house, and at the time, they just weren't given mortgages out. I mean, a year before that, they had been given out to anybody with a heartbeat, but at that point, they weren't. And so I built a house on credit card debt, and I needed to get that paid off. And so my wife, who had just had a child, decided that she was going to
make your child.
My child, yes, had decided that she was going to make it her job that we got out of debt. And amazingly, I think she did it in 2 years. It was a Herculean effort and
force of will.
Yeah, and she just did it. She made the meals. She took care of the kids. She did all the wifey things and then took care of the finances, too. And I got a small allowance to spend on, I don't know, like a burger after the show or something, and that was about it. And by a burger, I mean the dollar value menu at McDonald's, not the $20 burgers you get at, you know, like some of the chain restaurants.
Well, in 2008, that dollar went farther.
It certainly did. So, for me, it really worked out well, but yes, you're absolutely right. In a relationship, you have to find the right person to do that. And the most important decision you're going to make in your life is who you marry. It's nothing else. This is the most single most important decision you're going to make. Success, happiness, all these things are weighed upon it. Don't just pick the first one that you knock up or something.
Well, it was very touching advice there you gave until the end. Just let that one you knock up go.
Well,
yeah, great, Mark.
You know, I can't say that at
while I wipe the tear from my eye.
Late teens and early 20s that I was the best judge of character. I got to say, I've got some glaring evidence to the contrary.
Well, more to the contrary when we return next week with another Reigns of Edge.
Thanks, Henry.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked, there's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperTea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.